If you would open a yellow pages or something to the section on churches, depending on how big the town would be, you would see numbers of different churches, just one after another after another. And of course, if you go to a very large city, you'll see pages of all kinds of churches. It's been counted where there's thousands of different types of churches with all kinds of different beliefs and practices and so forth. But really, when it comes down to it, there's only two kinds. In the broadest sense, there's really only two kinds of churches. There are those that were created by men, for men, to please men. And think about that. There are those who were created by men, for men, to please men. And then there was one church that was built by our Lord. And in the broadest categories, that's it. There's all of these thousands of churches who were created by either a man or a group of men at different times. And then there's the one church that Jesus said he came to build. Remember his conversation with the apostles in Matthew 16? In verse 18, he said, "I will build my church." Jesus said he would build one church, singular. He had no intention in coming to the world to begin a large number of churches. He said he was going to come and build one. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 said that he shed his blood for one church. Not a whole group or thousands of churches. Jesus never said that. We are also told in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 15 that there is one family or house of God. There's not several families of God. There's not several houses of God. There is one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Just like a body has one head, the church has one head. One head for one body. And so place after place after place in the New Testament, we are told that there is a church, singular, that Jesus built, died for, shed his blood for, and is the head of. Not thousands that have different practices, but one that have the same beliefs and the same practices. That is what the Bible tells us. And we know that he left a pattern for us. In one place, it's called a pattern of sound words. So this church, this body, this family, this house has a pattern. Not several. One. So this morning's lesson is about this unique church. This one-of-a-kind church. Now, because it's unique and because it's one-of-a-kind, often it has things, issues, questions that come up that no other church has. And it's that aspect that I want us to explore this morning. And I'll apologize right from the beginning. I'm going to make you think quite a bit in the next 15 or 20 minutes. I'm going to have to think very deeply about some ideas and some issues. Because this church is truly one of a kind, not like any other. And that brings about different types of questions and issues than others would have. I was reading this, the past few weeks, John Waddy, a gospel preacher, asked some questions that made me think. And sometimes I know we don't want to think, but sometimes we have to think because they're important. So think about some of these things. Now, if the church is founded by men, it's founded for men, then that church is not going to be very concerned about whether Christ approves or disapproves of what they do. Now think about that. If the church was founded by men and for men, then that church is not going to be overly concerned about whether Christ approves of what they do or not. Because it was founded by men for men. That's why. A church whose leaders do not believe the Bible to truly be the entire Word of God, well, those leaders aren't going to feel obligated to follow that Word. They may follow parts of it, but if they don't believe the entire Bible is the Word of God, they are not going to feel that obligation to follow it. They'll follow it when it's convenient. At other times, they won't. If the church exists primarily to provide entertainment and social services to people, what's going to happen? Well, that church isn't going to be very concerned about whether they believe the right things or whether they practice the right things. That's not going to be their concern. Why? Because they're more concerned about those things. Those social things or those entertaining things. That's what they're going to be concerned about, is how they feel about those things. Not whether they worship like God wants them to worship. That's not going to be something they're very concerned about. Some churches strive to keep up with the latest fads. They hear about some church in this area or that area that's doing something, and it sounds good to them. Hey, we ought to try that. Well, that church is not going to be concerned, again, with following a book that's almost 2,000 years old. Why? Because they're wanting the latest philosophy, the latest thinking, the latest this and the latest that. They're not going to be concerned about a book that's nearly 2,000 years old. They will consider that out of date and irrelevant. Some churches' primary goal is to have the largest attendance in town, or more recognition by the world, or more acceptance. If that's their goal, then they're not going to go to this book and find answers for their questions. Why? Because they're more concerned about how many people walk through the doors. They're going to be more concerned about the contribution they get, whether it's every week or every month. They're going to be more concerned about how many influential people are in attendance. That's what's going to be their main concern. Now, you think about all those things I just mentioned. Many churches are following one or more of those reasons for why they exist. They want the recognition. They want the attendance. They want the latest fad. They want the wealthiest people to come. They're not going to be concerned about the Bible. But the Lord's church is different. The one that Jesus built is different. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we were to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us about the reason of hope that we have. That means that for everything we say and do, we're to know why we say and do it, and be able to answer people when they ask us. See, that's a reasonable obligation. Why would you want to belong to anything that you don't know and understand why you belong to it? And think about that. Why would you? So no wonder Peter says that we're to be ready and be able to give an answer. Why do we think it's important? Why do we believe it's important to meet every week? Why not every 2 weeks? Why do we believe it's important to take the Lord's Supper every week? Why not take it twice a year? See, why is that important? Why do we believe it's important that when we offer praise to God, that we do that solely with our voices and not with some type of mechanical instrument? Why do we believe that's important? See, the world thinks those are silly things to be concerned with. And the world believes that. The world says, why are you concerned about that? That's not important. God doesn't care how you worship. God doesn't care how often you worship. God's not concerned about the Lord's Supper. He's not concerned about those things. So the world thinks that's foolish to be concerned about those things. But yet, Ephesians 1:22 still exists. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Well, if he's the head, then who are we to be concerned about? Him and not people. It doesn't make any difference if the world thinks what we do is foolish. That doesn't drive what we do or what we believe. We shouldn't be concerned about having the largest attendance. We should not be concerned about what the latest fads or beliefs are. That is not what should concern us. What should concern us is, are we pleasing to the head? And because of that, all of those things we just mentioned are important. It's because he is the head. And we're given some instructions that are very clear. Turn with me, please. 2 John chapter 9. Notice what 2 John chapter 9 says. And it says it to us just like it said it to those people over 1900 years ago. In 2 John chapter, well, there's only one chapter, verse 9. 2 John verse 9. Look what he says. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We are to be governed by the doctrine of Christ, not the doctrine of men. Now that's something to think about. Because, he says, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you no longer have God. So we have a tremendous obligation to abide in the doctrine of Christ. So all that is taught is important for us. And it doesn't make any difference whether the world thinks it's silly or not. Because we will not ever have to answer to the world about anything we believe or practice religiously. Not a single person. So it doesn't make any difference what the world says. What is important is, do we know why the Bible says it's important? Let's talk about a few of those. We mentioned a few, but there are others as well. We mentioned briefly praising God with our voice. Why don't we have orchestras? Why don't we have choirs? Why don't we have all of those things that are popular in so many churches in the world? Well, it's very simple. We can reduce it to one thing. God has not given us the right to do that. He has given us the right, the power, the authority to offer praise to him with our voices. He has given us the right. He has told us that's how he wants to be praised. That's the music he finds acceptable. But you search the New Testament from the first word to the last and you'll find no authority or power or right whatsoever for any other type of music. But if you're not concerned about what this 2,000-year-old book says, then you're going to find that unimportant. Which is, that's what most of the world believes. It's not important. Why are you concerned about it? Because I'm concerned about what Christ thinks about what we do. And so should every single one of us. But most of the world's not. Most of the world is not concerned about the various roles that men and women have in the Lord's church. They say, why are you concerned about that? Let people do whatever they want to. Well, why are we concerned about it? Because the Bible is very clear that men and women have distinct roles in the church. See, we do have unique issues that the world is not concerned about. You know, Paul starts his first letter, his First Corinthians letter, talking about that. He says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. See, that's what the world thinks about these things. The world says that's foolishness. God says it's critical. So who do we believe? Are we concerned about what the world thinks? Are we concerned about what God thinks? There's many others. The world says it's not important about what's in the Lord's Supper or how often you do it or anything else. The world says, why are you concerned about that? That's irrelevant. God doesn't care. Yes, He does. Because it's the symbol to us. It's not the symbol to the world. It's the symbol to us, His people, His followers. And Jesus instituted it Himself. It's a symbol of what He was getting ready to do. And that was die on the cross, offer His body as a sacrifice, and shed His blood. And from that point on, through the rest of the New Testament, we're told when the church did partake of it. It was only on Sunday, never on Monday through Saturday, only on Sunday. And it was every Sunday. That's why it's important. The world thinks it's silly to be concerned about those things. God says it's vital to be concerned about those things. So who do we listen to, God, or do we listen to the world? Many other things the world thinks are silly. Qualifications of elders. The world says, who cares? Just put anybody in there you want. Doesn't make any difference. Why are you so concerned about that list of qualifications? Why is that so important to you? Because God said it was important. That's why. And we're to be concerned about what God said, not what man said. And we could just go on and on about different questions. Why don't you call your preacher reverend or pastor? That's a dignified way of referring to him. No, that's an unscriptural way of referring to him. And we're more concerned about what God's word says than what man wants us to do. So it is important. The world thinks it's silly. Who cares? God cares, and so should we. The world is a worldly-minded place. So when you look at all those multitudes of churches, they are really worldly churches. They're worldly churches because they're more concerned about men than God. And that's what it boils down to. And that's why there's so many thousands of churches. It's because of worldliness. They're more concerned about men than they are God. Those things are important to God, and if they're important to God, they should be important to us. And if they're important to us, we should be ready to give an answer. We need to tell people why it's so important. Because they are. Every single one of those things are very important. Because in the end, as the Bible tells us, Revelation 20 paints a scene where everyone, small and great, will stand before the judgment seat, that great white throne, and be judged according to what they've done. They're not judged according to what people think or thought. They are judged about what's written in the book. And did we follow God or follow men? Men says all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're saved. That's not what God says, though. God says belief and faith is absolutely essential, but that belief and faith doesn't save until it does something. The first thing it does is repent. Then that faith confesses that faith. And then that faith is put into action, because the Bible says when you go into water, when someone immerses you in water, that it's at that point God in heaven washes away your sins. You don't see your sins being washed away, but it's because of your faith in God and His Word that you believe that's when it happens. So what God says is important, what man says isn't. Jesus will judge us, every single one of us. There won't be a single man seated on that throne judging us. It will be Christ. And did we spend our lives pleasing Him or being concerned about men? There's thousands of churches founded by men, for men, to please men, but there's only one founded by Christ, of which He is the head. And are you a part of that one church? If you're not, now is the time, this morning is the time for you to make that response, to come to Him in faith and have your sins washed away. And if that's your desire, come as we stand and sing this next song.